You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.
It's all about Safety Mondays with Fire Officer Jude Rogers. We're going to get straight into that. Because only seen how much bushfires it have. Like, yo, that's crazy. Guys, help me welcome Fire Officer Jude Rogers to today's program. Hey, Fire Officer Jude, how you doing?
Pleasant good afternoon, Carrie V. It's a pleasure to be with you on the evening drive. Mm. It was also amazing being on
Okay, right.
Davey tried to kidnap me this morning.
I know. Yeah. But I forgive you. It wasn't your fault.
This morning was quite interesting because we had an interview with JW on mm-hmm. the Morning Brew program.
Yeah.
Where we really were trying to address the whole issue of bushfires. And you know, interestingly enough, you know, the rain fell this evening in Central.
Zeros?
I am telling you, bucket a drop. And it to us as fire officers, it's a welcome sight. I'm being honest with you. It's like breathing a sigh of relief just for a few hours until it gets dry again, and then we go back to the normal state of affairs.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely we want to say, you know, to the personnel in the Met office, they really predicted that this dry season, even though it's very harsh, should have some bouts of rainy periods that is going to help us to kind of overcome this really drought-like conditions that we're experiencing. But Caribbean, on that hand, on that note, I have to point out something very alarming to members of the public. And I wanted to kind of take the opportunity in this particular program, you know, to open up the lines to the callers and to our texters, giving them an opportunity to voice some of their concerns and even to voice some of their questions that they may have about fire safety in general. And let's see if we can bring some sort of answers to the whole issue of fire safety in the home, in the business place, you know, in the workplace, all of which pertains to Safety Mondays and to the serious topics that we deal with on a daily basis.
Mm.
All right. And with that said, I want to just talk about the fact that there have been over the weekend quite a few spates of fires, even with a major business fire occurring in the Londonville central area. And we're seeing a common trend heading in the wrong direction that we want to address in the fire service, Carrie V.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the whole concept and the whole idea of how are we treating with fire safety in the workplace? How are we treating with fire safety in the homes? And how are we treating with fire safety in general? Is it something that concerns each and every one of us? Is it something that we are paying attention to as we venture out into businesses and we go into the malls and we go to, you know, the airport, or if we go to the churches, even your church, your place of worship, your schools? We should be concerned, Carrie V, we should be very concerned, and we should try and as best as we can to hold persons accountable
mm-hmm.
for the buildings that they provide for us to function in.
Yeah.
And it's a serious issue. So I want to weigh in on that topic, and let's give out the numbers and let's see if we can get the public to join in on us in this discussion.
Definitely, and I agree with you there. So guys, get into the conversation. This is Safety Mondays with Fire Officer Jude Rogers. And we do this every Monday right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. And I want to talk about that, Jude, where you said, you know, we have to ensure that these, let's say, for instance, employers, let's touch on that. Or we are working in a particular place and we're not seeing any fire extinguishers, we are not seeing any smoke detectors, we are not seeing any, you know, like you know, it have the emergency exit where you're supposed to break the thing if you have to open for the key, you know what I'm talking about, right?
That's right.
We don't see some of that. So tell our listenership how important it is to, let's talk about fire extinguishers first, how important it is to identify fire extinguishers and possibly the types of fire extinguishers, and why should we look out for it. So let us know how important that is. But guys, send me a message on WhatsApp, 306-1065. Give me a call at 625-2257 or 627-3223. Do you see fire extinguishers at your place of work? And if you see them, where are they located? Let us know. Because I think it have specific places for them to be placed, right, Farah Sadu?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
Definitely.
So let's touch on that. So, how important is it?
First and foremost, let me just get into the whole fact about the legislation and what legislation provides for the workplace and why we should be seeing businesses and persons with the responsibility for the care and the duty of care for their employees providing a safe place of work. Our OSH Act, as enacted in 2004, amended in 2006, prescribes as one of the rights or the duties of employer that they must provide a safe place of work. And under Part 5 of the OSH Act, providing a safe place of work also means acquiring a fire certificate. And to acquire a fire certificate, you are to, once you have more than 10 employees on above ground floor, so Carrie, once you are on a first floor and you have 10 or more employees, you already triggered the Industrial Act or the OSH Act, and you have to provide means and measures for all those employees.
Right.
Or if you have 20 or more on a ground floor. But then there's a particular rule or law that circumvents all of that. If your operation is of a high-risk nature, you're dealing with fuel, like let's say a gas station, you're dealing with combustibles, like say a warehouse that stores goods, those types of facilities, whether you have 5, 10, 15, 20 workers, you still fall under the industrial premises and you must now provide proper means of escape. That's the exits that you talked about, Carrie V, signage. And you must also provide fire detection. How would we know if there's a fire, if there's no fire alarm or fire detection in the workplace? And last but not least, we must provide fire protection, which is the extinguishers that you spoke about.
Yeah.
And also, we must also conduct evacuation drills on a regular basis.
How often is a regular basis? Like, is it like once a year, twice a year? Should we do fire drills?
So normally, what you would want to do with schools, I recommend that they do one per term. So that can be quarterly. All right. Some businesses, by their nature and the low risk, once a year might be sufficient. Like a small business or a small shop or whatever, what type of business that is very low risk. You don't have any cooking going on. You don't have any storage of fuel. You don't have any gas tanks. You know, you literally have low risk. Once a year would suffice. But where there's a high turnover of workers, for instance, you changing out employees every month, you have new people coming in. Every time you bring in new people, you need to reiterate what are the safety measures for your particular business. So that will bring about a higher turnover of the fire drills.
Definitely. Thank you so much for sharing that, Fire of Sir Jude. And guys, get into the conversation. I want to hear from you. You're working in a company, in an organization for how much of a years? When was the last time you all did a fire drill? And I have a message here, Fire Officer Jude. Let me get it, and then I want to ask something else, okay? Let's see. Hi, Carrie V. Good afternoon to you, and good afternoon to the fire officer. Can you please ask him the importance of employers conducting fire drills? Yeah, that's what we're now speaking about. At the workplace, and how often should it be done? And should staff be nominated as a fire warden? What's your thoughts on that, Fire Officer Jude?
Again, so this person seems to be very well informed, Carrie, and I want to thank them for making that comment. As part of the arrangements under the OSH Act, Part 5 of the OSH Act, you must put arrangements in place for the proper evacuation of all staff in the event of an emergency. And to do that, you will have to develop what is called a safety committee. And by preparing a safety committee, those are persons from amongst the workforce, management, supervisors, as well as lower rank workers, all coming together to sit on a committee to develop a particular safety committee that will then choose the persons who will now become your wardens. So in every section of your business, you should have persons who are designated and so trained to be wardens. Those persons may have to be trained in first aid so they could render assistance in the event of a medical emergency, a basic first aid emergency. And they also get basic firefighting training, so that they would know how to use the fire extinguishers efficiently and effectively.
Got that.
Yeah?
Thank you so much for that, Fire Officer Jude. Another thing, if, let's say, for instance, I'm working in an organization and I've never done a fire drill. Let's say I'm working there 5 years and I've never done a fire drill. What do we do? Because if I know what's the right thing is to do a fire drill and to get an understanding of where the emergency exits are, you know, where the fire extinguishers are. If I'm working in a place and I've never, what do I do? Who do I turn to?
Okay. So you have a couple of options where that is concerned. You can reach out to the fire department or the fire service in the form of the fire prevention department, the department to which I belong. And mm-hmm. our duty and our care is for the provision of proper inspections of business places, for the observation of evacuation drills. So we would actually come to your business. We may even conduct a lecture with your staff. And we may also observe one of your drills and provide positive critiquing so that we can fix the areas that are not in compliance with the law or best practice. So if you are having difficulty with a particular employer, there are remedies. You have the option of the OSHA authority. You can make a report to the OSHA authority and ask for guidance. It's not always going to be a situation where like a telltale sort of situation, mm-hmm. but you're seeking advice towards upgrading.
Yeah.
And maybe you may have talked to the employer and the employer is none the wiser. They may not have a safety officer assigned. And so they may want the advice of the OSHA authority, or you can reach out to the fire prevention department. And I want to give you an email address. So no matter where you are in Trinidad and Tobago, you just need to email us. And the reason why I'm giving you the email is because that leaves a footprint. And it leaves a footprint that you can respond to, and that you now have this marker where you say, we reached out to the fire service at this email, and now you're going to get a response.
Definitely.
Right? And we can assign officers towards treating with the safety and the proper evacuation plan for your business place. Mm-hmm.
So what's the email address?
So this is our administration body, and they can then disseminate it to the jurisdiction that is closest to you.
Yeah.
So that is FP.
Mm-hmm.
FP-A-D-M-I-N.
A-D-M-I-N.
That's fpadmin@gov.tt.
Nice. So it's fpadmin, which is A-D-M-I-N, @gov.tt.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there, all you need to do is to place your request and ask how can you gain guidance on any of the varying topics that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It could be certification of your business. We are charged with the responsibility of certification of your business. It could be, what are the proper evacuation plans for your business? How often you can ask us to come in and do an inspection, just do a drill, and just give you general guidance.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And of course, there's a minimal fee attached to that, but it's a government fee that is attached to that. And let me tell you, any business can afford it. It's nothing exorbitant.
Yeah.
Because what we're doing is providing awareness.
Definitely. I gotcha. Thank you so much for that, Fire Officer Jude. I have another question here. Let me say good afternoon. Going to Arima. Arima asks that I am in a workplace. What are 5 things do I have to look out for that would prevent fires from happening in the workplace? What do you mean?
Okay, great. That's an excellent question, actually.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you can look out for that can prevent a fire in the workplace? So first and foremost, you need to do what's considered to be a fire risk assessment. Fire risk assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So the first and foremost thing you're going to be looking at is looking at all of the items in that business that has the potential to create a spark potential or to ignite in the business. So let's look at it. The electrical wiring in the business, you want to look at that. You also want to look at how you store combustible. And when I say combustible, I'm talking about cardboard, plastics, wood, paper, all the things that can burn. Am I storing them safely? Am I storing them orderly? Am I creating trip hazards and so forth? All of that helps to create fire scenarios. How do you treat with flammable materials such as LPG gas?
Mm-hmm.
How do you treat with gasoline, oils, and all of those types of things? So you're doing a risk assessment. And once that risk assessment shows that you have these items in your business, it means that you are at risk. And now we must mitigate against these risks becoming a potential hazard in the workplace and igniting.
Definitely.
And we can definitely do that by putting everything in its rightful place and storing everything away properly and safely.
Mm.
So some things will have to go in metal cabinets.
Yeah.
Some things will have to be separated, like wood, paper, plastics will be separated from liquids that can burn. So it's very, very straightforward how you go about it. The next step is, after we've we've segregated waste and we've segregated flammable. We basically want to detect if there's a fire very quickly. Mm-hmm. And there's no better way than having your smoke detectors and your alarms. So once we have smoke detection and alarm, and Carrie V, would you imagine investing $5, $10, $15, $20, $30 million to generate and create a business and you have no detection?
That's crazy. That ain't right. That's not matching at all.
And so even from an insurance perspective, and I want the insurance companies who may be listening out there, you would not want to insure a business that does not have fire protection. Yeah. And I'm suggesting that to insurance companies. You should be one of the lines of defense. And I've always wanted to reach out to the insurance companies and get them on board with also ensuring that when they insure properties, it are properties that are certified, that has a fire certificate. Because when you have that, it means that that business is now sealed and stamped as being approved by the fire service. You stand a very good chance of that business being safe, yeah, and a safe business to insure.
Nice. Thank you so much. And we have another message here. And guys, get into the conversation, 306-1065. Don't forget you can give us a call as well at 625-2257 or 627-3223. This is Safety Mondays with Fire Officer Jude Rogers. And we are just taking your questions. We are taking your calls. What I asked you before, when was the last time there was a fire drill at your workplace? Or in a matter of fact, let's bring it home. When was the last time you sat down with your family and you all spoke about fire exiting strategies or, you know, what's the way to get out? When was the last time? 625-2257 or 627-3223. I have another message here. Let me say good afternoon. Going out to Q-Rep. Q-Rep is locked in. Q-Rep says, what type of fire extinguishers should I buy for my vehicle?
Oh, that's an excellent question. So just want to let you know that fires are placed into different classifications based on what is actually burning. So we have class A, wood, paper, plastic. We have class B, flammable liquids. Class C, flammable gases or electrically energized equipment. Class D, flammable metals. And class K or F, heavy fats and oils that you find in industrial kitchens, such as your KFCs and all of your fast food outlets that has a lot of oil stored because they're cooking all that lovely, beautiful food that we love to eat. Right, so that falls into our class. And so the extinguisher that meets the majority of those specifications are called an ABC fire extinguisher because it works on class A, wood, paper, plastic, class B, flammable liquids, and class C, electrically energized and flammable gases.
Yeah.
That the name of that extinguisher is called a dry chemical powder or the ABC fire extinguisher for short.
Yeah.
And it's also the most affordable fire extinguisher to get.
So that would be that. So for, let's say, for instance, our vehicles, it would be easier to get an ABC fire extinguisher.
Right. And so for the vehicle, what you want to do, you want an extinguisher that is large enough, not the miniature ones that go on the doorpost.
No.
That would only, these things go by the amount of powder or the amount of medium that it can hold. And that small fire extinguisher just has about 3 seconds of medium.
What are you saying?
You're going to need a little more than that.
So what?
You're going to need an average of 15 to 25 seconds worth of medium, extinguishing medium, to really have an impact on any type of fire in a vehicle.
Wow.
So I always tell persons you need at least a 1.8 kg or 1.8 kg. And that's just under 3 pounds.
Yeah, but,
right? If 2.8, you know, so you're going to need a fire extinguisher that has some medium that can work. And so if you ever look at those maxi taxis right behind the driver on the side post next to the driver,
there's
a wall-mounted extinguisher there. Or it may be just to the back of the driver's seat.
Right on the side, with
a retractable fastener, that's it. And you can get that for your car as well.
No, so some of
those guys who do the rally racing and the drag racing, they place those extinguishers under just in front of the seat, bolted onto the floor or bolted onto the center of the vehicle, not on the doorpost, so that if there's a crumple because of an accident, that's good. become a missile and can dislodge and hit you.
What?
Or that so they mount it on the floor in that same bracket.
Because
so
I was going to ask. I was going to ask, where would you store it? I know that you mentioned it about the maxis. I've seen it in the maxis, but thinking about it for a car. I can't put an image there.
It's a bit challenging, but because of the size, remember I didn't say a 10-pound
or 5-pound. I said a 1.3 to 1.8 kg,
which would offer you 10 to 15 seconds of extinguishing medium. Mm-hmm. That's a medium-sized extinguisher. It's light enough and small enough to fit on the floor of the vehicle, right in one of the safest zones. So it's not at a point if you have an accident to the front, you get damaged. Even if you have an impact to the side, you can still access it. Or if you have an impact to the back of the vehicle. Because we always have to think about the fact that we can be involved in an accident and we would want to access this, because one of the fastest ways a vehicle can burn is if the battery poles are connected. After an accident, you have the potential for a spark to take place. So one of the main things we do as fire officers when we respond to fire, or when we respond to an accident, we dislodge or we disconnect the battery poles, eliminating the power or the electricity potential to the vehicle.
Wow. Look at that. I didn't even know that. How long are we doing Safety Monday? It's a long time now. I didn't even know that. But thanks so much for clearing it up. We have another message from Lutchman. He's locked in. But I want to ask you a carry-free question, right?
Sure.
And I hope Olin laugh at me. Yeah, carry-free question. I hope Olin laugh at me. But I just want... Yeah, it's real special. I just watch real TV Fire Officer June. And in the movies, sometimes you'll see some fire go to the car and the car would blow up, right?
Yes,
in my mind, and up to only like what, day before yesterday, my significant other was saying, "Carrie, that don't happen." So, you know, I was like, "What do you mean?" I said, "So if I go to a car, what did the car blow up?" And he was like, "No, the oil or the gasoline, it is just burn up and that's it. It don't blow up." So I say, "Hey, you see, when I come here Monday, I go in and ask Fire Officer June, what does that really happen? Like, if let's say, for instance, the car leaking gas." And a flame get in contact with it, would the car blow up?
Carvey, you know what? This is a question that I get this question. You would not, this is not a Carvey question.
Okay.
And I want to
feel
answer,
so bad.
I want to answer that question for you. Now, fortunately for me, I've actually witnessed this in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also had the benefit of a scientific experiment that I observed on Mythbusters.
Wow.
So there are two schools of thoughts on this.
Wow.
So I remember there was a time when the fire service was engaged to provide protection and safety for a movie that was being shot where they were going to blow up a vehicle. And, you know, of course, they could not do that safely without the presence of the fire service.
Yeah.
So... They literally had to blow up a vehicle for a movie right here in Trinidad.
Wow.
Trinidadian was one of the lead actors in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that was shot at Brechin Castle in Coover. I happened to be working in that instance. And the length of time that it took to create a volatile enough situation to cause an explosion, it was very lengthy. But eventually, we did have that flashover, and it's really a flashover is what takes place, and that is when the buildup or the vapors of the heated fuel expands in that confined gas tank. That's when you're going to have the possible flashover and created an explosion.
Wow.
And then obviously the fabric and all the other materials would have ignited and supported the burning. The myth is you cannot just throw a match or throw a lighted along the line of the fuel that has been, and it will run up to the vehicle and blow up the vehicle.
Really?
And the perpetrator drives away. That is a myth. That does not happen. That only happens in the movies. So I know you watch a lot of movies. Harvey, that is not real. That is for television only. It does not work like that.
I thought that happens.
However, if you are in a scenario where you have, and I want to tell you what can actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Static electricity when you are filling your tank.
That's a real thing.
The vapors that are escaping at the point of the entry of the fuel into the tank. What creates static electricity, you may ask? Your clothing, based on the fact, depending on the type of clothing that you're wearing, if you're wearing something that conducts and creates static electricity, like woolen material, some of those fabrics that the lovely young ladies wear,
yes,
you can actually create a static charge, and you can discharge that, and in so doing, you can ignite the vapors. Now remember, it's not the actual liquid fuel that
is the
that
vapors, burns. Yeah.
It's the vapors that escape that ignites, and that's the whole chemistry of combustion.
Wow.
And once that ignites, again, it's going to heat up the surface, eventually heating up the fuel that's in the tank. And as it rapidly expands and it converts to more vapors, it's going to cause that explosion. But it takes some time to do that.
Like some time, as in like 10 minutes or?
It will take more than 3 to 5 minutes for that to happen. Oh, depends on how quickly the burning takes.
What?
So you do have some time to escape. Ooh. You may even have enough time to use that very same extinguisher that we talked about to eliminate a fire at the point of your gas tank or within the vehicle. Mm. Once that fire is not running up to the gas tank and creating a constant flow of heat to
that
fuel.
Now, another carry question. So let me just say, for instance, the gas tank in your car, and you say you have time to go and get the fire extinguisher. You may have time to go and get the fire extinguisher. You should have time.
Once you're there from the inception and you know how long the vehicle has been burning, you can actually have a very fair understanding as to how much time you have to interject with an extinguisher.
So how are you extinguishing the fire by your gas tank? Is it that you're just aiming at the gas tank itself?
This is the beauty of the dry chemical powder extinguisher. What it actually does, it smothers the fire by eliminating the oxygen. Now, fire is created by having a triangle of a fire triangle, which is oxygen, fuel, and heat source.
Yeah.
So once you eliminate one of the three carry, you no longer have the combustion process. So if you eliminate the fuel, means you shut off the fuel, you switch off your gas tank, that's one. Or if you cool down the temperature by applying water or a cooling agent, you break the triangle. Or in this case, you smother the fire by excluding oxygen from the process. And that's what dry powder does. Dry powder bakes itself onto the surface of the material that's burning, and it literally does not allow the vapor to escape and mix with the oxygen that is in the atmosphere.
Oh,
that's
wow.
The science behind a dry chemical fire extinguisher.
Wow.
It's smothering.
I tell you, every Monday when I come here, it's something. Every Monday, you know. And listen, I know all you didn't know that, you know. I know you didn't know that. Send me a message on WhatsApp, 306-1065. So you see how important it is to have a fire extinguisher for your vehicle? You see how important it is. And look, oh, I was thinking that the thing will just blow up and things, just so like how the movies are looking, you know, June.
Yep. And so, Gary V, interestingly enough, that very same type of fire extinguisher is the one that I recommend for your homes and for your businesses. Once you do not have a lot of electronic items, listen to this, what I'm saying here now. If you apply the dry chemical powder to your electronic items that you want to use, like your laptop, your computer, your servers, and stuff like that in your business, it's going to damage the circuitry in those types of equipment. But the basic materials you have in your home, wood, paper, plastic, wardrobe, you know, these things, it works well on that. If, however, you have a lot of electronic items in your rooms, in your offices, you would want to use a CO2 or a carbon dioxide fire extinguisher. Hence the reason for having different types of extinguisher. They are more effective and are better suited for different types of classes of fires.
Definitely. Thanks so much for that. 625-2257 or 627-3223. I saw someone calling us just now, but I didn't want to cut you across there. Okay, they're calling us back. Let's hear who's there. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, Lemmy.
Hey, the fastest, slowest. What's up?
I plan the day particular way and the day totally opposite.
Always.
So I give thanks, our life helps drink, and I hear your voice above all things.
Papa, yoy.
Thank you, Lord. Well, listen to the last part there with the extinguisher. Well, I'm not tuning on it for the whole day. I'm not tuning on. I think I catch base about that 10 minutes. I tune out and then I'll catch you here. So at the end of the day, you know, fire is a thing. We always do like it, but at the end of the day, we already prepare for it. And a fire does happen so easy. I can remember a day I was grinding something. Good even day, Officer Jude. I was grinding something. You know, a spark from the grinder. It had some open tinners somewhere. I said, you know, that spark on the grinder caught that container. Easy, like that. The good thing was in an open flat area, you know, where I could contain it. It wasn't anything. So, you know, so fire does happen so easy. It's so unpredictable. You just can't really predict it. I mean, the most unusual or funniest thing. Oh, look at what happened to me at the IRS. I was at my grave in the trunk on top of our battery. Our car battery. And the whole pole of the battery blown up. When I reach up the road, then I about 6-7 miles away. I smelling this thing, eh? Not recognizing what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
So the battery have two safety covers, and I didn't put on the safety covers. I had it on the trunk with all the safety covers. So you see how easy accident happened again. I have another two examples I give it there. So have a blessed one, man. Bye until
right,
Monday, Fire Officer Jude and Kai. Well, tomorrow, God willing.
Yeah, man. Bye-bye. Yeah, man. Thanks so much. Hold it down. Thanks so much for that.
I was going to tell him to stay on the line because I wanted to give him an example of how easy we can be our own worst enemy. I remember going to a fire investigation where a mechanic wanted to clean the surface of his garage, and because there was a lot of oil and a lot of grease on, and he decided to wash down the garage area with gasoline.
What?
In the hot sun.
No.
Carry V.
What?
All it took was for someone to pass with a cigar. Rent,
wow.
And just one, and it ignited. He got burnt. The home got scorched. Thankfully, it was mixed in with water and a little bit of soap, the powder and stuff, and it dissipated. But he got burnt really badly.
Oh my gosh. Right?
And the entire yard, because again, it was exposed to the sun.
Yeah, the heat.
Converting it to vapors, and the vapor is what ignited.
Hmm.
So you might think that you're doing a good thing, but once you're using a flammable liquid such as petrol, kerosene, gasoline, diesel, any of those, even some of the paraffins and the oils that we have, even candle
and
grease.
And the deflate.
Oh yeah. And thankfully that guy didn't lose his life and he didn't lose his home. But again, it could have been catastrophic for him. And he thought that he was doing a good thing. He was removing the grease on the surface of the garage area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as simple as that, as the caller just said before. It's very simple. One mistake, error of omission.
Yeah.
Like putting a microwave, which is a metal conductor, on a battery pole and conducting the two poles is going to cause the battery to spark off.
There are problems.
And then you can have the potential for a spark to occur.
Definitely.
So you were very lucky in that situation there, Cola.
Wow.
Lucky.
Thanks so much. Guys, it's just about 5:45, 625-2257 or 627-3223. Don't forget, you can even send me a message on WhatsApp, 306-1065. This is Safety Mondays with Fire Officer Jude Rogers. I have some messages here, Fire Officer Jude. Let's get this one from our silent listener, Indigo Martin. His name is Kyrie V. For people who reside in public accommodation with use of stairways or elevators to their respective apartments, do they have a responsibility or how do they go about it with the owners or landlords ensuring they are safe should there be a fire? Oh, that's a real good one, Neyman. So,
excellent question.
Yeah. What do you have to say on that?
What this caller is talking about is a multi-tenanted, multi-story type dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say to you that once you have those type of scenarios, all of those buildings, their plans and their appropriate mechanisms or protection, it comes to the fire service and we prescribe specific fire protection for those types of buildings. Carrie, those type of buildings have to come with fire detection systems. So that if one apartment is on fire, the other apartments could be alerted. And when what we also have is common spaces where you have extinguishers along the pathway. You have multiple exit routes. In other words, you should not only have one stairwell. There should be one stairwell on one end of the corridor and a stairwell on the other end. And where the elevators are, the elevators are not to be used in the event of an emergency, fire or earthquake or any of the above. The stairwell acts as your safety mechanism. The stairwell is pressurized, or the stairwell may be the strongest structural part of the building, allowing you, the occupant, the necessary time to use the stairs to evacuate the building.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me see this one here. Let's say good afternoon. Going out to Lutchman. He said, Carrie V, I would like to find out from the officer. I just passed by a grocery that had a fire incident just a couple days ago. Just asking on the side of caution, if they have sale on plastic bottle drinks, is it okay to consume? That's a good one.
I would be more concerned about sending in a report on that particular fire, so that if that fire was not captured by us in terms of an investigation. There are fires, by the way, that occur and persons don't report it to the fire service.
Really?
And I'm suggesting to you that once there's a fire at your business place, your home, please call 990, report that fire, even if you were to extinguish the fire, Caribbee, please call the fire service so they can generate a report.
Right.
Because sometimes you lose items, or sometimes you may need to get insurance coverage to work on your behalf. And if there is no fire report, guess what they're going to do? They're going to deny your claim, or they're going to send you back and you're not going to get documents that you need to replant. You may have to get back a passport, get back an ID card. You need a fire report.
But why?
And that can only happen if the fire service were to do a proper investigation.
But why would some people not report a fire? What are some of the reasons? Do you know?
Gary, first of all, a lot of persons do not like dealing with the authorities. Some of the authorities, well, they think that the authority is going to come down on them with a big stick. But that is not necessarily the case. I want people to know, and I want the public to know, that there are lessons to be learned by every fire scenario. When you learn the lesson, you can now avoid that same mistake in the future.
From happening again, yeah.
Right. And the only way to do that is for a proper investigation to take place. Now, obviously, there are certain types of fires that, whether you like it or not, an investigation is going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody dies, if somebody is injured, if there's a government building, if it's a school, church, a public space, the fire service has to, by law, be notified.
Yeah.
You cannot shirk that responsibility. All right? Properties over a certain value as well, they demand an investigation by the fire service.
Mm.
That's the law as it pertains to Trinidad and Tobago. Right? But you know, when you have those little dustbin fires or those mini fires or the small ones that you were able to knock out before the fire service arrives, even those should be reported so that we can generate a report, because that report can come back to save you, the occupant, you know? Mm. Especially if it's not your property and you're tenanting or you're occupying or you're renting, you should want an investigation to take place so that you can eliminate the possibility of that hazard happening again. Okay?
Definitely. Another one. Now, guys, it's just about 10 minutes away from the top. And as we wrap up today's edition of the Safety Mondays with Fire Officer Jude Rogers, Fire Officer Jude, I want you to tell our listeners again, how important is it to have a smoke detector in your house? Talk
so
to us.
Again,
yeah.
Carvey, let's put it this way, right? I refer to fire protection systems as being in a plane needing a parachute and you don't have one. And the only time you know you need a parachute is when the plane is going down. So in the case of fire protection and fire detection, the only time you're going to need, or you feel that you're going to need, the smoke detectors and the fire extinguisher is when you actually have a fire. And guess what? Just like with a plane that's going down, no parachute, it's going to be too late. So the fact of the matter is, you need to put that in place before there's a fire. To one, help you to detect that a fire occurs in the early stage, you have a chance of responding if you catch it early.
Yeah.
When it goes beyond 3, 4, 5 minutes, Caribbee, all you're doing, you're just coming to what we call salvage, just to take up the burning pieces. That's it. Because literally, fire does not take that long to raise through an entire property. All right? So I'm saying, please have the safety and the protection. Have your parachute, literally, proverbially, metaphorically, for your home and your businesses by having the proper fire detection and fire protection in the form of extinguishers, hose reels, and items that you can actually eradicate a fire. And it's not good enough to take a bucket of water, Caribbean,
and dash it.
Not all fires you can throw water on, especially for those of you who have the oils in your kitchen. Never, ever throw water on burning or oil that's burning.
And even electrical too, huh?
And electrical. Yeah. You have the chance of being electrocuted, or the hydrogen molecules in the water, when combined with the oil, is going to cause a conflagration that will actually burn and maim you, or cause the fire to spread on you or on other parts of the building.
Wow.
So please, know the facts, know the safety, and make sure that you're not a victim.
Definitely. I have one more question here. Let me say good afternoon. Going to Kunupia. Kunupia wanted to find out If I am stuck in a room or a place where there's a lot of smoke in the house, is it okay for me to use a wet cloth to breathe through so I can get myself out?
So I'm going to give you two techniques, and Carla, these are the kind of questions I love to get. So that's an excellent question. Yeah. So yes, you can wet a towel or wet some sort of cotton-based fabric that is breathable, and you can place that over your face. One of the main reasons why you're placing that over your face, not just to breathe to come out, you know, but there's also the possibility that your skin can be burnt as a result of not even being in direct contact with the fire, but just being close enough to a fire. It causes your skin to peel and burn.
Wow.
But here's the critical part that I want to tell the caller. If that room is already filled with smoke, the one place that you're going to find oxygen to be able to get out is down on the floor. That's why we say get low and go. So we teach the kids in the primary school and in the preschools, you get down on your belly and you crawl out of the building. Carry the safety in a fire scenario is down on your belly, and that's where you're going to find oxygen, at the lowest point in the room. So apart from covering your face or covering your nostrils, your nose, with you may still not be able to breathe, but you can get oxygen at the lower regions and evacuate out of that.
You can get out from there
as quickly as possible.
Wow. Thank you so much, Fire Officer Jude. And I love today, you know. I love today again. I mean, I love every Mondays, eh?
I know. I do.
I learn so much. And I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Fire Officer Jude. I can't wait to do it next Monday. Same time, same place. Yeah?
Thank you so much.
Yes, have a good one. Hey, wait, Jinx. Have a good one, Fire Officer Jude. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place, all right?
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.